The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Let me ask you to open your Bible today to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I want us to consider some lessons from a lost man today. You may have picked up my notes from the table in the back when you came in. So you know generally what I'm going to talk about, and you have the gist of it. You have the kernels, and I want to crack them and illustrate them a bit, if I may, and challenge you to learn these lessons from a lost man named Zacchaeus. So let's read, if you will, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, about this pygmy pole climber named Zacchaeus. He was a, as every child knows, wee little man, right? He, that's Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Now, should you ever go to Israel without me, and if they take you to Jericho, the guides generally point out the sycamore tree. There it is, the tree that Zacchaeus climbed. And I'm thinking to myself, that tree was dead long ago. The tree Zacchaeus climbed is no longer in existence. I said, how do you know that's the tree he climbed? And one guide said to me, it's the only sycamore in Jericho. Well, that may be logical, but it's not very historical, I don't think. Zacchaeus' tree is long gone, but there was a sycamore tree whose limbs overhung the roadway. He climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, Jesus, for he, Jesus, was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him. I'll read that again. And received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled about when they saw what Jesus did. And here's what they said. He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. He's going to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And they mumbled and grumbled about it. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation. And I repeat that. Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, thank you for sending the Son of Man to seek me and save me from that legion of lost. You have made me a son. And Father, on behalf of all those in this room whom you have sought and saved, I give you thanks. Now, Lord, just speak to us in this passage. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The news spread through town like wildfire. Jesus is coming. Little children scattered everywhere shouting, Jesus is coming! Jesus is coming! They spotted him as he began to enter the city, and word went everywhere about it. Well, in his office or at his table or in his room, whatever he had in Jericho, Zacchaeus heard the report. And he was interested. He wanted to see Jesus. In fact, he had lost one of his best tax collectors, Matthew Levy, to this Nazarene some months before. And he wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted very badly to see him. So down he threw his record books. Out he went to join the crowds to find a place from which he could see Jesus. He looked for a good place, but he didn't find any. He was very short. We don't know how tall he was, but he wasn't very tall. It says he was short in stature. And so he tried to push his way to the front so that he could see Jesus. But the people recognized him and took every opportunity, this opportunity as well, to punch him, to kick him, to pinch him, to shove him backward, to elbow him. Next day, Zacchaeus would be black and blue from this experience, but they pushed him to the back and would not let him to the front. Seeing which way Jesus and his disciples were going, Zacchaeus ran on ahead, found this sycamore tree, climbed up, and crawled out on a limb that overhung the roadway so that he could see Jesus when he came. He waited, and then I'm sure he got two great shocks. First of all, pretty quickly, Jesus stood right under him, looking up at him. And then, wonder of wonders, Jesus spoke to him. He couldn't have been more shocked if the tree had talked to him. Here is Jesus, this man he climbed the tree to see. Not only did he stop and look up to see Zacchaeus where he was, but he spoke to him. And he said, I need to go to your house. Come down quickly. I'm going to spend a part of this day with you. So Zacchaeus shinned down the trunk of that tree, led Jesus to his house for lunch and a little siesta, a little rest time. And on the way, I don't know exactly how all this happened, but on the way he stood up and said, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I think we pretty well know that he did. I'll say how in a moment. But if I've cheated anyone, I will restore to him fourfold. And Jesus' reply was, God bless you, Zacchaeus. Today, salvation has come to your house. You're a son of Abraham, not just by physical descent alone, but because you have a faith like Father Abraham. You have received the Messiah that Abraham looked for. Now, I've already clued you in here that the story of Zacchaeus reveals three simple but significant lessons that we can learn from a lost man. You can learn something from almost everybody. And from Zacchaeus, we can learn today three significant things. I want you to put these in your heart. Roll them around there. Think about them and let them guide you in your work for the Lord in this community. First lesson we learn from a lost man is that many lost people may want Jesus. Now, had you led a community census in Jericho in the months before Jesus came and collated all of the results, you wouldn't have considered Zacchaeus a very likely prospect at all. You probably would have put his name toward the back of the file because nobody in Jericho ever dreamed that Zacchaeus was really that interested in Jesus. He had his own world carved out there. He was a rich man. He was an influential man. He was in with the Romans, and he had his own life marked out for him, and very few people would have thought he had any interest at all in Jesus of Nazareth. Several reasons for that, for their thinking that. Number one, he worked for the Romans, and as such, he was collecting taxes for the hated Roman oppressors, whose troops were in their country uninvited. They had simply been dominated by Rome. And so they would not have considered him to be a very likely prospect simply because he was a traitor. He was a turncoat. He was a Benedict Arnold. He was someone who, a Quisling, if you please, who betrayed his own country for this foreign country and even went to work for them. Second, they didn't consider him a very good prospect because he appears to be a cheat with no conscience. Can I tell you that the greatest robbers in the first century were not highwaymen and thieves that worked off the highways? They were tax collectors, the greatest robbers. And if you lived in the first century, your dad was telling you a story about a famous robber, it would probably have been about a publican or a tax collector. Here's why that's so. Rome farmed out taxes. They would say, we need to collect X number of pounds of gold or X number of talents of gold, ever how they specified it. We need X money from that province right there, from that town right there. And so they would auction off the role of tax collector. Who would be willing to pay us that amount of money to become the tax collector? Once the deal was settled and the man was on commission, then he could collect whatever he wanted to collect, and keep all the extra for himself, so long as he paid Rome what he bid on the job. And Rome pretty well turned its back on the situation, turned a blind eye to the whole situation. Now, that was a pretty good job to have. And if a tax collector was honest, he could make a very good living. If he was crooked, he could become very wealthy. And that's why I think Zacchaeus probably was a crooked tax collector, because the notation is given here that he was very wealthy. If you were crooked, you could make a great fortune being a tax collector. A third consideration that would have led a lot of the people of Jericho to write him off as a prospect is that wealth tends to make men think they don't need help from anybody. You know, if a man has the money, he don't need somebody to help him. He's usually pretty confident he can handle the situation himself. I don't need anybody's help. And so Zacchaeus would probably not have been considered a good prospect because he had enough money to take care of all his needs himself. Or at least that's the way many of the wealthy men thought. And fourth, he is said to be a chief tax collector. That is, he was in charge of the whole district, not just the little town of Jericho, but he was in charge of that whole district as a tax collector. And nobody liked him. No, the Jews liked him. In fact, the pastors, Jewish pastors, they were called rabbis, but Jewish teachers said it was okay to lie to three kinds of people: murderers and thieves and tax collectors. Perfectly right to lie to them any opportunity that you had. And so if the preacher said that, I'm pretty sure the guy wouldn't hang around the synagogue. In fact, they wouldn't let him hang around the synagogue. He was forbidden to go into the synagogue as a tax collector. He wasn't welcome there. Now, that kind of attitude of sheer rejection would turn off most any publican. And publican is just another word for a tax collector. It would push him away. He would be turned off by that and wouldn't want to go anywhere around a synagogue or around people who went to synagogue. So there were several very good reasons that Zacchaeus was not considered a very good prospect in Jericho. But he did want to see Jesus. Folks there would have thought him the least likely person in town to want to see Jesus, but he had a heart's desire to see Jesus. Can I tell you, you ought never write off anybody. If I've asked people about some folks in town, they live next door to them, I said, have you ever spoken to your neighbor? No, they go to church over this other church. I said, but have you ever shared Jesus with them? I didn't ask if they went to church somewhere or nowhere. Don't write them off. They may be wanting to see Jesus. And they may need you to point them to Jesus. Don't write off anybody. And they may attend Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall. They may go to a Mormon gathering. They may not go to church anywhere. Don't write them off, because they may want to see Jesus just as badly as Zacchaeus did. Nobody in Jericho would have listed him as the man most likely to want to see Jesus. But deep in his heart, he did. Probably worse than anybody in town. He wanted to see Jesus. I'll never forget one night, it's been years ago now, but we did field missions at New Orleans Seminary. Every first-year student had to have two mission assignments. Second-year students had one. By the time you were a senior, they figured you were doing some witnessing and sharing the gospel. One of my assignments in my first year there was to go down to Washington and Claiborne. And if you were familiar with New Orleans at that time, you would know that Washington and Claiborne was where all the buses came. That was a central location. And so there were 5,000 people that came through every 10 minutes. 5,000 people. Buses came from every quarter of the city to Washington and Claiborne to discharge their passengers, and you could make connections to go on a different bus when you got there if you needed to. And we would go in and set up a little portable organ that you had to pump with your feet. You ever seen one of those? You had to pump it with your feet and play it. and I did that for our crew, and we had a loudspeaker system, would sing two or three songs, and then one of our group would try to preach with all that massive humanity pushing and shoving and trying to make it to other buses, and the rest of us would fan out and try to engage people in conversations. And I was standing back just listening. I discovered that if I would just stand back and listen, others would stand alongside me and listen. And so I was setting an example, listening to the man who was preaching, when a young man, he was about 6'3", I guess, I would imagine he would have weighed less than 200 pounds, a very young man walked up and stood beside me for a moment. Then he turned to me and he asked a question. He said, "Can you tell me the difference between a Catholic and a Protestant?" And I said, "Well, I think I can, but the most important thing is for me to tell you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." He said, "That's what I want to know. I just didn't know how to ask it." Now, out of those thousands of people who were pushing through Washington and Claiborne intersection at that time, I would never have picked out that young man and walked over to him and said, "Look, I know that you're a great prospect for the gospel. Let me just share Jesus with you." I would never have picked him out of that crowd at all. The truth is, he wanted desperately to know Jesus. He prayed to receive Jesus. But I would never have known that if I'd just written him off and said, "He's probably not interested. He's a young man. He's in a hurry going somewhere. He goes to church somewhere. He's probably Catholic. He this, he that, he the other. Don't write anybody off. Never, ever do that, because many lost people may want Jesus. You'd never be able to tell it up front. You wouldn't mark them out as the most likely prospect. But in their hearts, they want to know Jesus. There's a second lesson you can learn from a lost man here, and that is that all lost people can meet Jesus. Zacchaeus went out seeking Jesus, did he not? And we're told here that Jesus came seeking Zacchaeus. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. And I guarantee you that where there's a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior, they're bound to come together somewhere. They're going to meet up sooner or later, because I don't believe our Lord misses a single person who's looking for him. And that's why I emphasize, as I was reading, the place. When Jesus came to the place, what place was that? Well, it was that sycamore tree. It was the limb on the sycamore tree. The limb where Zacchaeus sat, waiting for Jesus to come by, who wanted to meet Jesus. He came to the place, we're told. And when Zacchaeus saw it, to his great shock, when Jesus came to that place where his path met that of Zacchaeus, he knew some things. Zacchaeus knew some things. Jesus stopped and looked up into Zacchaeus' face. And I think Zacchaeus thought at that point, "He sees me." He could hardly mistake that. Jesus is looking up where he's on the limb, out on a limb. "He sees me." And then Jesus spoke. He said, "Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus must have thought, "He knows me?" We're not told how he knew Zacchaeus. I don't know. Maybe Matthew said, "If you ever get down to Jericho, why don't you look up my former supervisor, Zacchaeus, chief tax collector." That may have been how he thought he would have known him. He's a short dude, you know. I don't know how Jesus knew Zacchaeus, but he did. And when he called his name, Zacchaeus thought, "He knows me." And then he said, "Make haste and come down that tree." And when he did, I think Zacchaeus thought, "Jesus wants me." And then he said, "Because today I have to abide at your house." And Zacchaeus, with wonder, must have thought, "He needs me." You know, I'm convinced, if I could expand that just a moment, I'm convinced that on the map of every man's life, there's a sycamore tree like that one. I don't mean a real tree, but I mean there's a place on the map of your life that's marked as the place where your path intersects the path of the Savior, where he comes to meet you. When you couldn't go to him, he came to you. That's what happened with Zacchaeus, and that happens to you too. I believe there's a place on the map of every man's life where there's a sycamore tree like that of Zacchaeus. And when you come to that place where your path intersects that of the Son of Man, Jesus' favorite name for himself, I think you will know the same things Zacchaeus did. I think when you get to that place and Jesus gets there, you will think, he sees me. You will realize that Jesus sees you every moment of every day. He sees you as he saw Zacchaeus in the tree. There's no hiding from him. He sees you. And then you will know he knows me. He can call your name just like he calls Zacchaeus's. You're not just a number to him. You're not just a hair on somebody's head. The hairs on everybody's head, including mine, are numbered. Including yours are numbered. He knows how many are there. And he knows you as well as he knows the hairs on anyone's head. He knows all there is about you. And then you will know he wants me. Come down that tree, he said to Zacchaeus. And he will say to you, I want you. I have a job for you to do. I have something in mind for you. I want you. That's why I came from glory. That's why the Son of Man came, to seek and save that which is lost. And then you will know he needs me. He said to Zacchaeus, today I must abide at your house. And I don't know what he will say to you, but he has plans for you. He made a path for every river to run. He made a place for every mountain to sit. And he has a place and a job for you, every person he ever brought into this world. Can I ask you, have you come to that place? I'm talking about the place where you can meet Jesus. Have you come there? Is there a sycamore tree in the history, in your history, where you met Jesus and came away knowing, he sees me, he knows me, he wants me, he needs me? Have you gotten to that place? If not, it's there, because you can learn that lesson from a lost man. Then there's a third thing I see here, a lesson from a lost man. That is, some lost people will receive Jesus. Now, I don't have to tell you that not everybody in Jericho got saved that day. Not everybody in Jericho received Jesus as the Messiah. Not everybody in Jericho surrendered their lives to him. But Zacchaeus did, and he was gloriously saved. Verse 6 says he received Jesus. And I need to make the point to you and make it plain and clear that he received Jesus not only into his house as a temporary guest for a time, but into his heart as a permanent resident forever. In verse 9, we're told that Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. And by the time Jesus and Zacchaeus got to his house, Zacchaeus' wife had a new husband. His children had a new father. The people of Jericho had a new tax collector. And the Savior had a new trophy of his grace in Zacchaeus, this lost man who had been found and brought safely home. Can I point out to you what happens when somebody receives Jesus? When you receive Jesus, it makes an honest man. The man who receives Jesus becomes an honest man. Zacchaeus did. Remember, he said, I pointed this out as we read, he said, if I have taken anything from any man, if I've stolen from anybody, I'll restore that fourfold. I will give it back four times. Now, that's an important thing for us to see, is it not? Repentance is not just saying you're sorry for your sin. Repentance is not just saying I won't do it anymore. Repentance involves making amends for the past so far as you can. Have you ever truly repented? When you received Jesus, did it lead you to make up for the stuff, the bad stuff that you did? Not just saying, I'm sorry I did it, and I promise not to do it again, but I'll straighten it up as best I can. Sometimes we leave behind us messes we cannot straighten up. But if it's within your power to straighten it up, repentance means that you straighten it up. Receiving Jesus means it makes an honest person out of you. And you do your best to set straight the stuff you messed up before. Not only so, but receiving Jesus makes people unselfish. It did Zacchaeus. He said, half of all my possessions I give to the poor. Did you notice the striking difference in this man? When he met Jesus, made a humongous change in his life. Bodacious change in his life. He was never again the same. He met Jesus saying, I get. He came away from meeting Jesus saying, I give. Zacchaeus went to work that morning mastered by greed. He went to bed that night mastered by generosity. Knowing Jesus opened his hands. And he was not the little selfish man all wrapped up in himself that he had been all his former days. He became open-hearted and open-handed. Half of all my possessions I give to the poor, said he. In short, meeting Jesus and receiving Jesus changed his whole life. Can I say to you something I want you to listen very carefully to? If the experience you've had with Jesus has not made you honest and unselfish, it was not the Jesus Zacchaeus met in Jericho. It may not have been Jesus at all. The experience you claim that's going to take you to heaven, did it turn you into an honest and unselfish person? That's a lesson you can learn from the lost. Because some lost people will receive Jesus and it changes their whole life. Now, I'm right down to the end. Don't leave me yet. Don't leave me yet. This story ends like a fairy tale. You expect to read, and he lived happily ever after, don't you? Now, here's a guy whose life was on the wrong track. He met Jesus and he got on the right track, and you expect to read those little fairy tale words, and he lived happily ever after. Well, it ends almost like that without those words, but it ends like a fairy tale because Zacchaeus did not put off receiving Jesus. You know, one of the biggest problems that people have today is they intend to do the right thing. They intend to give their lives to Christ. They intend not to die unsaved. They intend to die saved. But they just put it off and put it off and put it off. Not now, not today. Maybe another time, some more convenient season. Let me ask the question. What would have happened had Zacchaeus waited? Think about that a moment. What would have happened if he had hesitated to come down that tree and ultimately said, no, I don't think so. You know, what would have happened to Zacchaeus? Delay would have been fatal and final for Zacchaeus. He never met Jesus again in this world. This was his last chance to see the Savior. I'm not talking idle words. Jesus never came to Jericho again. This was his last visit to that desert town. He never came to Jericho again. He was on his way to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19, there are only 24 chapters. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and at Jerusalem, he expected to be crucified. He was going to a cross. Never again would his feet fall on the streets of Jericho. He was going to Jerusalem to die. Zacchaeus didn't know it, but this was his last chance to receive Jesus. It was his last chance. He had no other opportunities after this. Jesus never came back his way. One day Jesus will come your way if he hasn't already. One day he will pass by you as he passed by Jericho. And he will pass by for the last time. If you don't ever intend to receive Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, give your heart to him, I really have no message for you. But if you ever plan to give your heart to Jesus, the time is now. The time is now. It may be your last chance. And you don't know it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you did for Zacchaeus. And I know that up and down the streets of gold inside the Jasper walls, that little fellow short of stature has been long on praise to you. Already he's been praising you 2,000 years for coming to Jericho and stopping to talk to him. And I too will praise you alongside him for coming to my sycamore tree and inviting me to take you to my house and into my heart. There are others here today, Lord, who just need to do that. They need to receive Jesus and let Jesus change their lives. Let you make them honest and unselfish. Now, Father, do the work in people's hearts that only you can do. Bring Holy Spirit conviction. And I pray that should someone here today need Jesus, as Zacchaeus knew he did, they'd find their way to that sycamore tree where they will meet the Lord and receive him. That's my heart's desire today. Lord, have your way among us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.